Assalamu alaikum, everyone. Welcome to a new episode of Muslima. As you all know, I'm Asma, your host. First of all, before we get started, I just want to apologize for not being super active on the podcast. I have been so busy working and getting ready to start law school. The summer has just flown by, honestly. But I'm here now, and I am really excited to start publishing episodes more regularly. As I balance law school, my other commitments, I hope that I can fit Muslima podcast into my schedule and start publishing episodes more frequently. This is something I'm super passionate about, and I really just can't wait to continue. So getting to today's episode, I am so excited about today's interview. Dahira Rahman is a television reporter based in Austin, and she is actually the first hijabi broadcast reporter in the United States, which is seriously amazing. I titled this episode Breaking the Cycle because we talk about how US media outlets really are a cycle of the same type of people talking about the same type of topics. You know, you get my drift. And as people of color and as Muslims, we try our best to break that cycle so we are more accurately represented. This episode is full of gems. Tahira's story is truly, truly one of resilience, and I cannot wait for you to listen. Assalamu alaikum, Tahira. Thank you so much for coming on the podcast and welcome.
Thank you so much for having me, Asma.
So we have a lot to talk about today. Tahira, as you guys all know, mashallah, is such a trailblazer. She is the first hijabi Muslim TV reporter in the United States. She's located in Texas. And I feel like you have so many insights, mashallah, to share with all the young Muslim women listening. Thank you again for coming on the podcast. So my first question for you is, what first inspired you or led you to study journalism and be in the media industry?
So that goes way back when, to when I was in fifth grade. So it was shortly after September 11th. It was basically all the aftermath and watching the coverage of 9/11 unfold on TV, you know, every night, day in and day out. My family had the TV on, and I remember thinking in like the weeks that followed the tragedy, how poorly Muslims were being portrayed. You know, people that look like me, just because they believe the same thing that I did or my parents did, my family, my loved ones, they were being painted as the other. You know, you were either this white American or you were this like brown Muslim or Arab Muslim, and you weren't one of us. And that's how I felt. And I remember distinctly feeling as a kid watching that very hopeless. And I remember thinking, you know, I wish I could be those people on TV so that I didn't have to say that stuff. You know, it's very naive thinking. It's not like you can just say whatever you want on TV for the most part, but that's kind of where that first inkling started. And then growing up, I always loved writing. I always had a passion for that and storytelling. I would always be writing on scraps of paper around the house, just different stories. And by the time I got to college, I knew that I wanted to at least try something journalism related as far as courses go. I was a little bit hesitant to commit to it right away because I did not know very many Muslim journalists, and especially not in TV. So at that point, TV wasn't even in my radar. I thought I was going to be a print journalist or digital. But my first TV class in college really opened my eyes, and I just loved everything about it. Just the way that you could tell a story in someone else's words, and you know, you can see the emotion, you can hear the emotion. It's just so much more powerful. And I enjoyed the craft of it as well. I enjoyed, you know, being able to talk to somebody in person, because at that point, you know, print and digital, you really could take care of the whole story with phone call. But I love being in the field, meeting people face to face, getting to know them, and having the privilege of being able to put their story together. And, you know, watching that at the end is just a satisfaction that I did not quite get with the other forms of media. So I knew by the end of my junior year, mostly because that was the cutoff for deciding your major, I talked to my mom and I was like, I'm really nervous about this because I don't know anybody that's Muslim in TV. And she encouraged me and she said, well, you'll just have to do more research and figure it out. But even if you are the only one, you know, that doesn't mean you shouldn't do it. With that, I declare my major, and, you know, the rest is kind of has been a journey to the point of where I am today.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much for sharing. And you provided a great segue into my next question, which is, you know, how did you get to where you are today? So we started in fifth grade, you know. Thank you so much for sharing. You know, I was born pretty much right after 9/11, but I've heard so many stories like yours where, you know, young people where this happened and you just saw public opinion just change and you saw this like horrible media coverage and, you know, you just saw the world change around you where you were this or that. You were the enemy or you were a white American, you know? So,
yeah.
You know, we start out with that and now we're here. So yeah, I'd love to hear how, after you, you know, studied that in college, how you got to where you are today. And I'm sure it wasn't all peaches and cream. I'm sure there were some bumps along the way. So I'd love to hear all about it, inshallah.
Yeah, for sure. And the thing is too, and when people see me on social media and things like that, or social media in general for anyone, you think that even now to where I am today, it's peaches and cream. And it's not, you know, even though I've gotten to my dream, alhamdulillah, thank God, I'm so grateful because I do love this job, but not every day is easy. So anyway, it started, you know, once I was on the precipice of graduation, I realized that, okay, this is crazy. I have to go into the real world. I have to now find a job. I know I love TV news and I don't know if I can get a job here. So I sent out, you know, you make a reel and it's basically a video montage of your work in college. I had also had a couple of really great internships. I interned with Al Jazeera English, and then I also had interviewed with CBS Evening News in Chicago. Oh,
mashallah.
And so I had really, really good mentors and people that really helped me, you know. I even came back several times to CBS just to use their equipment. Somebody even offered, like, they came around town with me and shot some of my stand-ups for me. They were so awesome. So just a little key piece of advice if you're in this is, you know, really milk those internships, make a great impression, make good relationships, because that can really get you a long way. But I was at the point where I had sent out dozens, if not hundreds, of applications and just was not getting any bites. I honestly felt like my applications were going into like a black hole. Like, I didn't even know that, like, are these even going anywhere? Like, I'm not getting any bites. So I ended up deciding to, and I got a couple of, you know, from my mentors at this point. One of them was one of my college professors in broadcast. And then one of the producers I had worked with at my internship at CBS, you know, their advice was, I knew it was coming from a good place, but it was essentially, you're going to be pigeonholed. Try to get a job in Dearborn, for example, because of the Arab American Muslim population. You might have a better chance there.
Right.
Or they told me, someone told me to apply to Al Jazeera. And I'm like, just because I'm Muslim, I can't apply anywhere else? This is crazy. And so I kind of was stubborn and I applied everywhere else, but I wasn't getting any hits. So I ended up taking a job in radio producing. That was my first entry with the mindset of, okay, like, my path is not going to be clear cut from A to B, like a lot of the people I graduated with who were, you know, they look like typical TV news reporters and they got jobs right out of college. And it was really disheartening to me, but I figured, I was like, you know, if this is something that hasn't been done before, then I cannot expect the route to get there to be a normal route. So I just have to keep my eye on the prize, get my experience where I can, and keep moving on. So that's where I was when I accepted a radio producing position. After a couple of years, I started sending applications to TV news organizations again. And again, it was the same thing. I was sending out dozens. I got a couple of interviews. The one that really sticks out to me is I had one with a station in Minot, North Dakota, which, first of all, for me to even be in the state where I was considering moving there, I think says a lot. And Then I had gotten to the final round of interviews. The news director had told me that I was one of the best candidates she had interviewed ever.
Wow.
And so I felt really confident. And a couple days later, she called me and she's like, I normally don't even call candidates. I email them, but I wanted to tell you personally that I'm really sorry. This decision was made by men in suits above my head, and they decided to go a different direction. And so that really bummed me out. And I, this is my second time trying to get into TV news, and I thought it was so close, and I didn't get it. And so I ended up getting another producing position, but this time at a TV station. And the news director there had called me and said, "Hey, I know you applied for a reporting position, but we don't have one open right now. What we need are producers, and producers are worth their weight in gold. You can go anywhere if you're a TV producer." And so he kind of sold me on it. And I decided that, okay, at least I'll get my foot in the door at a TV station. Like maybe I can work my way from the inside. And that's what I did. I like came in, and when I was producing for 2 years, I came in on weekends. I shadowed the weekend reporters. I helped them write their scripts. I shot video just to keep my skills fresh. And I had told my bosses from the beginning, I am taking this producing position, but I still really want to be a reporter. And they said, "That's fine. You can apply once positions open up, but you'll have to apply just like everybody else who doesn't work here." And I said, "That's fine." So I was keeping my skills up to date so that when the time came, I'd be ready. And that's where, at this station, I applied twice for a reporting position that opened up and got rejected
Oh
twice.
my gosh. Wow.
I know. And I'm like, and that second time really, really killed me because I had been there for a couple of years at this point, and I had been working so hard. Like I was producing a show and working my 40 hours and then working extra just so that I can have an edge and a leg up on other candidates. And on my way home, I remembered it was like 11 o'clock at night. I had produced the 9 and 10 o'clock, or 5 and 10 o'clock newscasts, and called my mom, gave her the news, and just, I could not stop crying. Like, I could not even see because I was crying so much. So I had to pull over on the side of the road and just let it all out. And I remember telling my mom that I didn't think that I could try anymore. I'm like, maybe this is it. This is the sign that this isn't meant to be for me. And she, kind of like listened to me for a little bit, and then she told me, "No." She's like, "This is what you wanted for your whole life." And she said, "You're just going to keep applying it and getting back up. You can do this, and you will." And so couple days, took me a couple days to nurse my wounds, but then I was back in it. And I didn't even know this, but subhanAllah, Allah was working in ways that I did not even know. And the third time a position opened up, I went for it, but I didn't have much faith. I was like, I'm doing it because I can't miss the opportunity. And little did I know that the main anchors of my station had gone to my boss's office and told him, "If you don't hire her, you're making a big mistake." And they said, "She has the most experience of anyone here, and she has been working so hard, and you are going to miss out on great talent." And I didn't know this till after, like probably 2 months after I had found out that I got the job finally. And so, subhanAllah, it was crazy because I was dragging my feet going into my boss's office because I thought he was going to give me another rejection. And he said, when he said I got the job finally, it was just a wave of relief. Finally, like I couldn't believe it. And then in the months that followed, I really, really realized the wisdom in God's plan. And because of all the attention I got, and I finally realized that what if I did get this job right out of college? I don't, I, nobody, I, Nobody is a good reporter out of college. Like, you have a lot to learn, which is fine. But if I had that spotlight, who knows what kind of backlash I would have gotten at that point. Like, she doesn't deserve it. She's not ready, things like that. And I needed that experience and I needed that confidence, honestly, to be able to withstand that and to be able to build that reputation. By the time I was there, you know, all of my coworkers were really supportive. My bosses were really supportive. And I just, you know, didn't even question from there on out the path that I had taken.
Wow, mashallah. That is really, truly a story of resilience. So honestly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had a plan for you and you really stuck it out, mashallah. And you are here, alhamdulillah. And yes, you got a lot of media attention once you got that position and you are such an inspiration to this day. And inshallah, you will be for the rest of your career. So may Allah bless the rest of your career and only moving forward from here. So alhamdulillah. So as a hijabi journalist, you obviously are quite public facing, especially because you are on TV and you're not a print a journalist or a digital journalist. So obviously the hijab is the first thing that people see when they see your face on TV. And has anyone in your life ever kind of encouraged you to not wear hijab from like an external, like, you know, source? Or has it ever come from you internally? Like, maybe if I took off my hijab, I'd be getting more, you know, callbacks, I'd be getting more interviews, I'd be getting a position. Has this been a thought in your mind ever, or a thought someone has told you? And, you know, how did you deal with that?
It's really important to talk about, because yes, it did go through my head. And I never thought about taking it off, but I did think about what would happen if I did. It would be easier was what I was thinking. And that actually this story comes full circle about North Dakota, because after I ended up being on air and all that media coverage was surrounding me, that same news director from North Dakota messaged me on Facebook and she said, "I'm not there at the station anymore, so I can finally say this, but I am so glad to see that you never stopped trying to be a TV reporter. I thought you had so much potential. And now that I'm not there, I can say this, but the decision was made because they did not want, they weren't ready for this step yet at my station."
Wow.
And I just could not, because you always think that that could be a possibility, but you never really want to play that card, right? Yeah. You don't want to be that person that says, "Oh, it's because I'm Muslim. Oh, it's racism. Oh, it's this or that." But in the back of your mind, you face microaggressions all the time. And we know what that looks like and we know what that feels like. And so when I got confirmation of that, and I thought, yes, that is exactly how I felt at the time. And I never voiced that, because you can't ever be sure. So during that process, that was something I thought about. And one of my producers at CBS asked me, "If you got your dream job offer, let's say at CNN, but they wanted you to take off your hijab, would you do it?" And so he had me think about it right away from the beginning out of college. And I thought about it for a second. I said, no, it wouldn't be worth it to me. And I made that decision then and I stuck by it. Even though I did know that it would be easier, I really felt it would. I always thought, it's such a part of me and I value it so much as far as hijab and what it stands for, that I felt the blessing from whatever I got job-wise, taking it off would not be the same. And I didn't want to sacrifice that, because what does that mean? I'm just doing it for a worldly. So that's definitely something I thought about. And, you know, it's funny because my husband now asks me, because I face, you know, it could be an interaction in the store, or it could be just a glance on the street. And it's funny because my husband's family notices this when I walk into a room with them, you know, people stare. And just disclosure, obviously he's white, that's why. Otherwise, if it was a brown family, it would be different. But they notice this. And he told me once, like, doesn't it bother you? Don't you get angry, like, with all these interactions? And I was like, if I got angry every single time I felt belittled or judged, I would just be an angry person all the time. Like, you have no idea on a daily basis how much brown people face. And I'm just used to it. You learn at a young age to kind of pick your battles and to stay positive, especially with our faith, and just trust in God that the right thing will happen. And as long as you are a good person and do the right thing, the right good things will happen to you. And so that's kind of what I held on to the entire time, even though I knew that the hijab was a very big barrier for a lot of newsrooms in hiring me.
Wow, subhanAllah. I just think it's astonishing that that person from the company in Dakota, like, came full circle and was like, you know,
yeah,
that's why we couldn't hire you. That's just so crazy, subhanAllah. And you're right, we think it's in our head, but it actually isn't most of the time.
Yeah.
And I also love what you said about, you know, it, I would just be angry all the time, because it is, it's emotionally exhausting to be brown, mm-hmm. to be a hijabi. And just from my own side, like, I just started law school, and the law school that I'm attending is way, way less diverse than where I went for undergrad. And it's been a transition. Like, it's been really hard because I'm the only hijabi. I'm also one of two, you know, Indian people, and it's just, it's a lot. So I really yeah. feel what you're saying. So yeah,
we'll make it easy for you.
Ameen, thank you so much. So mashallah, we've talked about all of your achievements and the ups and downs along the way. Do you, and I feel like there have been some tips throughout your whole story, but are there any specific tips that you have for other Muslim women trying to get into the media world, whether it's journalism or something else?
Yes, I would say try to find those mentors, first of all. There are more of us out there than you think. Growing up in Chicago, I remember reading, honestly, just some Muslim sounding bylines in the Chicago Sun-Times. And that stuck with me for my entire life, so much so that when I got older, when I was in college, I reached out to one of those journalists that she was at the Tribune and then went to the Sun-Times, I think. But her name is Ramana Hussein. And I remember just emailing her out of the blue when I was in college, just saying, I read your most recent editorial. I thought it was so great. Would you like to meet with me and just give me some advice in this field? And she was more than willing. And she was one of the people that gave me advice all along the way. And Malika Bilal is another one. She is another hijabi TV reporter, but for she was with Al Jazeera at the time, Al Jazeera English, and she was anchoring one of their digital shows. And I had interned with her when I was over there, and she was always open, always responsive anytime I emailed or texted or anything about advice. And then along the way, I met a Muslim TV producer who was behind the scenes at CBS. And she literally was so sweet. She went out in the Chicago winter with me to shoot some video for me for my reel.
Wow.
And I didn't know this woman up until I met her for, you know, career purposes. Wow. And subhanAllah, like, you just never know. It's the support that you have. And especially when people can see your passion for it, your dedication, and you're doing it for the right reasons. Like, you know, you want to do this job for the job, not to be famous, not to do whatever. I think that goes a long way. So I would say reach out. And people reach out to me all the time, and I always do my best to respond very thoroughly with any advice I can. And I always, you know, try to point them in the right direction, because that's what people did for me. Like, you can't get there alone. And of course, there's Maryam Subah, who had tried for so long to be a TV reporter also in Chicago. And she is, or was in radio, and she was constantly there holding my hand and just saying, you know, I tried this, I tried that, you know, just giving me support because she had faced a lot of rejection herself. So even if it's as simple as needing to vent to someone or, you know, asking for advice on how to handle rejection, I think that is also fair game. And that's totally okay to be able to reach out to someone, ask them what their schedule is like, and make sure you are flexible because, as you know, Asma, it's sometimes hard to get a hold of reporters and journalists, but we always want to help. And I speak for myself first and foremost. I'm not the best at getting back right away, but if you're patient, you will get a response for sure. And so that's the first piece of advice. And then, of course, just speaking emotionally and mentally, it is so draining. So the entire process can be draining and overwhelming because if you think about it, you're going up against decades of a tradition, decades of TV where the anchor man, the anchor woman, the reporter all have a certain look. So it's very subjective based on where you are, who the news director is, what station you're applying to. And you don't have to feel like just because you didn't get one, you won't get the other. It really just depends on what the news director wants. You never know if they want to add diversity. These days, everybody does. And so just keep that in mind and keep pushing forward and know, like, keep the faith, essentially. I mean, for me, a lot of the balance was doing the work during the day and then at night just fervently praying that Allah does what's best for me. And if this is really not meant for me, please put it far from my heart and put something better in my path that I'm also passionate about. So I tried to keep an open mind while also doing the work that I needed to and what I wanted to do. So I think that's important as well. I think a lot of times people enter this industry and then they're working for a few years and they realize the stress is not worth it. They get burnt out, and that's okay too. I think it's all part of life's journey, honestly. But if you want to do this, I think you definitely should go for it.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Dahra. Very, very inspiring. And I definitely agree with all of your advice, getting a mentor. I myself have cold called or cold emailed like Muslim lawyers. Yes. And I'm like, hey, like, how do you do this? I definitely completely agree. Self-care is important too. If you're burnt out, take care of yourself. So thank you so much. Just 1 second. I just need 30 seconds, just having like a little bit of a technical thing I need to fix. And then I'm going to start recording again. So just give me 30 seconds. So I just have one last question for you, Dahra. Thank you so much for taking out this time to be with me. So looking back at your career so far, is there an interview or a project that you've done that really sticks with you and stands out to you as really a momentous part of your career? It could be even one or two different projects that you've done.
Oh, there are so many, especially the station I'm at now, KXAN, which is the NBC station in Austin. We're pretty well known in the industry across the country for doing really good in-depth and investigative work on a daily basis. We win awards day in and day out, and I've gotten so much better as a journalist since being here. And all the time I'm working on stories that people will email me about and just thank me for, you know, exposing like a problem or something unethical or things like that. But I would say my first story still sticks out the most that made like a tangible impact. And that was when I was at my first station and we had gotten this call, this old man who was a veteran, and he was got a notice from his apartment complex that he was going to be evicted and he didn't know why. And so I tried to get answers. I called the apartment complex, went over there, and essentially they just told me it was within their rights and they don't have to have a reason. So I did this story. I interviewed him. And by the time I even got from the studio upstairs presenting my story to the newsroom, phone was already ringing and people were asking how they could help him. And fast forward 2 weeks later, but a state representative had seen my story, and she worked with a nonprofit leader she knew, got him another apartment set up and the deposit paid. And another group separately was this Army veteran moving company, and they had contacted him and said, okay, we'll pack everything up for you and move you for free. And so I was able to do a follow-up story while these movers were here, and it was just an amazing feeling to see that something that I had done. This is the pinnacle of journalism. This is what we want. This is a purpose, is to do stories that affect change. And that's exactly what happened in this case. And the elderly man called me and thanked me. And he said, you know, I never thought that just talking to you would change my life. I not only got a place to live, but I have new friends. And I just felt so like empowered, and it gave me so much, because you do story like every single day, every day of the year, we have a deadline and we have to do a story. And you hope that by telling the story, you will see change from it, but you just never know. Sometimes it's not measurable. And that was one case where it was. And alhamdulillah, I felt like very good about, you know, another case where I felt really good about my purpose and that I was in exactly the right field that I wanted to be in.
Wow, subhanAllah. That is really a very moving story. And I'm so glad that he was able to move and like everything was sorted out for him. And that apartment complex must have been so embarrassed for evicting him randomly.
Yeah, I hope so.
Yeah, inshallah. But yeah, and like you get rewarded for that even in the akhirah, like the impacts that you make on people and the way that you change their lives. So that's really so beautiful. And I'm sure that that has happened countless times without you even knowing. You know, thousands and thousands of people are watching what you're reporting on, and they are making changes because of what they're seeing. So thank you so much, Tahira. I hope that this episode has a lot of effect on the people listening, inshallah. And I wish you all the best with the rest of your career, inshallah. Thank you so much for being on the podcast.
Well, thank you so much again for having me, Usman. Best of luck to you in your career. And what you are pursuing is also very inspiring. So I hope to see more from you going forward and more people on your podcast.
Thank you so much. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Muslima Podcast. To stay updated, make sure to follow us on Instagram at muslima.podcast. And if you enjoy listening, make sure to leave us a review on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. Thank you so much, and see you next week.